We are back here on 102.5 The Game. Our Predators pregame coverage continues. Predators and Los Angeles Kings. We think we might have a chance here to get a little Kings perspective here in just a couple of moments. In the meantime, we will tell you that according to Brent Peterson, it looks like the rookie Ryan Ellis will be back in there tonight. Wondering if there will be a change at all in the forward look as well. Barry Trotz trying to keep everybody playing, keep everybody involved in the flow here. And a lot of speculation from practice yesterday that not the Predators have had any power play time to use Andre Kostets in there, but will they start to work his skill set into one of the power play units?
Well, and it's entirely possible that they will. I mean, it really, I think largely that depends on the play of Andre Kostets, and the more quickly he assimilates into the culture, into the system here, Willie, the more comfortable he looks out there. I think certainly that increases his prospects for joining the power play crew. But, you know, you want to be careful how much responsibility you drop in the lap of somebody like that, especially when you've got to be mindful of the way this power play is functioning right now. You know, you come back to that age-old adage, if it's not broke, don't tinker with it.
Well, and that's exactly the thing you talk about is if it is going well, although Barry kind of made everybody laugh this morning in the scrum, he said, well, we don't know if our power play is any good anymore. We seem to not get any opportunities lately. So Nashville hasn't had a whole lot of chances, but it's been running first, second, and third all season long, coming into tonight ranked second. You know, you don't want to tinker too much with the power play unit. You know, eventually it's likely Andre Kostets will work his way in there, and you'll get that going, but I don't know if you do want to tinker with it.
Well, you almost think of it in these terms, Tom. The power play is kind of the advanced class at school. You know, for a guy like Kostetsen, he's new to this club. He's new to this structure. It's going to take him a while to kind of get the feel of what this system is all about.
Right.
You know, you don't want to heap, again, everything into his lap right out of the gate for fear of, just too much responsibility might not be the appropriate thing right here, right now.
Willie Donick, Tom Callahan, Stu Grimson here with you on the Predators pregame show. We are now joined by John Hoven, who is with MayorsManor.com. He also does some radio program, contributor to ESPN Radio, and covers the Kings out in Los Angeles. And, John, great to have you with us here tonight to get a perspective on this Kings team. These two teams are going to play three times here over the next 20 days when you go back to last Monday's game and then tonight and then a trip out to L.A. next week when the team goes out west. So, John, a lot of people are wanting to know more about the Kings at this point in the season. Obviously, they're at a critical juncture trying to get into that top eight.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you guys. Appreciate it. And, the Kings have struggled all year to find their offense. And when you talk about what type of team will the Predators be looking at right now, it's a little bit of a different team than what they saw earlier in the year, because with the addition of Jeff Carter, their offense seems to be clicking recently, especially on the power play as well.
So, John, is that as simple as it is? Is just needing to get the offense consistently? Do they feel good that everything else is there if they do get enough goals?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at goaltending, I mean, very similar to the Predators, the Kings are set in net. Jonathan Quick, he's having what is arguably a Vezina-worthy season. Their defense has been strong for several years now, arguably one of the best defensive units collectively as a group of six guys in the Western Conference, and that's been evident in their goals against numbers over the last couple of years. They needed to get more goals, and this year, even with the addition of Mike Richards, they went out and signed Simone Gagné over the summer to replace the departed Ryan Smith. But even with those additions, the team suffered in the first half of the season and wasn't able to produce goals. And now with the addition of Jeff Carter, they're back to having two legitimate lines, which is something that they really didn't have for most of the season. It pretty much was, if you shut down top center Andre Kopitar and his line, then you were able to shut down the Kings' offense. But now with the addition of Jeff Carter playing on the second line wing position to Richards, you still have Kopitar up front. The offense has been clicking, and they haven't been winning or losing games 2-1 recently. They've been putting 3-4 goals in the net most nights over the last 2 weeks.
John, are they pleased with what they had to give up to get a Jeff Carter? Obviously, the big price tag and really the length of the contract seem to be the one inhibitor that might keep you from wanting to make a big investment in him. But giving up the first-round pick and Jack Johnson, not having to give up Jonathan Bernier, how did that go over amongst Kings fans?
you know, it was kind of a split down the middle, not only with management but also with fans, because you have a difficult situation in that, yes, Bernier is the chip that you would think would be the most likely to be traded because Jonathan Quick has entrenched himself in the net here in Los Angeles. However, Quick is an unrestricted free agent, not this coming summer, but in the following year there. And, you know, he's an East Coast guy. We saw the money that Pecorine was able to get, and Rene and Quick have almost identical numbers in terms of wins, their goals against average, you know, length in the league, et cetera. That's a big contract out there, $7 million a year for 7 years. If the Kings if they had to commit that type of money to Quick, that really is going to handcuff them, as they've already tied up a lot of money in Doughty and in Kopitar and some other players. So you really want to get Quick locked up long-term before you trade Bernier. When you ask the question, though, were they happy in what they had to give up, they really would have preferred not to give up Jack Johnson. He's a young defenseman, mid-20s, still has a lot of upside in his game. However, you know, they made the financial commitment to Drew Doughty earlier this season. He is the number one guy, and Johnson was signed to a very favorable contract that a lot of people around the league were interested in. And, you know, it's the old adage, you have to give up something in order to get something. And what the Kings needed more than another solid defenseman, really, was somebody who can put the puck in the net. They have a lot of high-character 20 to 25-goal guys. They needed a sniper, and that's when they went out and picked up in Jeff Carter.
John, Stu Grimson here. You know, it's interesting, just in talking to some of the Kings insiders here, you know, this club having struggled offensively for most of the year, it's a small sampling when we look at these last few games and specifically kind of scratch beneath the surface, you know, Minnesota and some of these other games, 4 goals on 11 shots, 4 goals on 19 shots. Is what you're seeing right now kind of the Kings are past that hump where they're having a difficult time generating offense, or are they still very much languishing in that inability to score goals on a consistent basis?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. When you look at this small sampling, I mean, it was impressive that they were able to put up 4 goals on the Ducks over the weekend. That's a team that, regardless of what's happening in the standings, the Kings have always had trouble with, and that have played them very tough as their crosstown division rival. They put 4 goals on Jonas Hiller, who's really played, you know, some solid hockey here over the last, you know, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks maybe. Getting those goals on Minnesota, that was a team that did look a little bit like they were in disarray coming out of the trade deadline with a lot of parts moving. Probably the most impressive game of the recent sampling would be the 4-0 win against the Chicago Blackhawks, a team that plays pretty solid defense as well. And the games with the Kings are usually low-scoring games when they play the Blackhawks. Dustin Brown went off that night, had a hat trick. And again, I think it really does come back to what I said earlier, which is having two lines. Yes, it's been a small sampling, but you've just seen an offense that looks different. Even if they're not converting on every chance, the offense looks different having those two units that they're able to roll out there. So hoping that they're past the hump would be probably what Daryl Sutter would tell you, and he would probably agree with you as well, that it has been a small sampling and they need to keep it going. And this road trip starts out tonight in a very tough building there in Nashville, as you know, and it doesn't really seem to get any easier. They move on to Columbus and Detroit here, and with some back-to-back games later in the week. So this is going to be a good test for them, these 4 games on the road this week.
Talk about your observations, John. Having had a chance to watch this team since, you know, one of the very more significant moves that the club has made, the hiring of Daryl Sutter as head coach. How is that transition going? What kind of an impact is Daryl having in terms of the general structure to this point? How's he being received in the population there?
You know, there's kind of been the tale of two Daryl Sutters, if you will. When Sutter first came in, he was very positive. He was very upbeat. And a lot of credit, you know, should be thrown his way in terms of just kind of laying low and surveying what the scene was in Los Angeles. He was leaning over on the bench, talking to players and motivating them and during the games. And every player, off the record and on the record, was saying very positive things about bringing in a coach like Daryl Sutter, who was going to hold them accountable. And some of the younger guys, especially Drew Doughty, openly welcomed that and said that they needed that. As they struggled over, let's say, about maybe 3-4 weeks ago, you started to see Sutter call out certain players, and he wasn't afraid to call out the bigger names on the team, which is something that hasn't happened in Los Angeles or wasn't happening over the last couple years with Coach Terry Murray here. Sutter called out Dustin Brown. Sutter called out Andrei Kopitar. He said those are two of his better players. He needs those guys to be better. He needs them to go to the net. He needs them to be more aggressive. We've seen Dustin Brown respond, as we talked about earlier, right around the trade deadline. He kind of broke out of his slump. He's been red hot as of late. Anze Kopitar, they're still waiting for him to, you know, kind of give them more. He's their number one center. He's the highest paid player on the team. He's gone through stretches now 3 years in a row where he's had, you know, one goal in 20-odd games. This is the third season in a row where we saw that in the middle of the season. So they do need more. Even though Kopitar is the leading points producer on the team, they still do need more from Kopitar if they're going to win.
John, as we let you go, what is the better scenario for the Kings in your mind? Is it to win the Pacific Division, or what's more likely path into the playoffs? Winning the Pacific, which is turning into a heck of a race right now with Dallas suddenly taking over the number three spot. Or is it to end up in the top eight? Obviously, you want to have both paths available. What's more likely in your mind?
You know, that's a really tough question because the Kings, by and large, over the last few years, have been a better road team. So, you know, coming into the year, they're all the talk within the team and the coaching staff and management was about the importance of winning the Pacific Division and getting home ice in the playoffs. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're sitting there today at 72 points. Dallas is in the lead in the Pacific at 75. So the Pacific Division title is still within their grasp. It's also just as likely that they don't even make the playoffs because today they enter play tonight there, you know, in the ninth position. So that's how razor close it is, razor thin things are in the Western Conference. At this point, considering how terrible the first half of the season was, the Kings would just have to be satisfied with getting themselves into a playoff position. Of course, they would love to have home ice because theoretically it gives the team an advantage. But like I said, at this point, any spot in the top eight is really going to be considered a success because if they're to fall out of the playoffs, the year they spent to the cap, the year they went out and made big trades and to get Mike Richards, Jeff Carter, etc., it would have to be considered a disappointing season for the LA Kings if they don't make the playoffs.
John, great stuff. We appreciate the perspective, and it's going to be fun to watch these Kings down the stretch. Of course, Predators will be very familiar with them, playing them here tonight and, of course, in L.A. next week. So, John, I guess people can follow you on mayorsmanor.com.
Absolutely, and on Twitter, the handle is MayorNHL. It's great talking with you guys. Have a great game tonight. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, John Hovind is with mayorsmanor.com. Good perspective on the Kings, and I think based on everything you said, you know you are going to get the Kings' best punch tonight for sure. A desperate hockey team that feels like there's something better than what they've showed so far in the first three quarters of the season. Now let's go across the street real quick to Joe Dubin. He's standing by over at Rippey's for the Absolut Vodka Cocktails Perfected pregame party. And let's find out what the scene is over there. Joe?